Our scripture reading comes to us this morning from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 44. After he said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany at a place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples, saying, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the donkey, the owner asked of them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen in Jesus, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the day will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children with you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God." And then he entered. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. In the reading of this passage this week in preparation for Palm Sunday, I got stuck on the looming, towering walls Jesus sees as he comes down from the Mount of Olives. He's right outside of the city, and he knows that this is about to start a time of great change in history, in relationship, and in humanity. We know that as soon as we pass through today, pass through Palm Sunday, Holy Week starts. And the turning of the tables in the temple, the Last Supper, a trial, and death are ahead of us on this road and this week. Today, in a way, is the last normal day in the story. And we look up at those towering walls of the city and the gate, knowing that this week, this Holy Week, lies beyond. And it will be a holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, H-O-L-E-Y, holy, H-O-L-Y, week, in our reality this year. Indeed, a holy, entirely holy and perfect, kind of like Swiss cheese filled, holy, sacred, deep, intentional, liminal, and wondrous. That is the week that we have for us this year in Palm Sunday 2024. It is imperfect. It has holes in it. It has gaps of knowledge and understanding. And it also has that liminal sacred depth that we hope for. In the next 3 months, according to researchers and gurus in this space, the world will change more than it did in the first 3 years we all got to know smartphones in our hands. This week I was meet with an AI professional at Yale as they start onboarding all of us to the new world we're facing. AI is going to change, according to this consultant, the world more in the next 3 months than it did in the first 3 years we had with smartphones. And then again, the next 3 months after that, and 3 months after that, and so on. This pattern of incredible change will continue exponentially throughout our lives. This year, as we approach that looming city gate on the donkey with Jesus, we're aware of the great change, the magical and even the terrifying, to come in this Holy Week, or probably for us here, a holy decade ahead. The city walls of Jerusalem are just ahead of us in the story. And we know, though, when it's all said and done, God will be there. There will be still some mystery in the universe. And our humanity, with all of its glorious imperfections, will still matter. Life will still matter, even as the measurables of our own intelligence and thinking might not matter as much. We have tried to walk with Jesus through these months of Lenten reflection in 2024, wilderness and imperfection, to now arrive here at the city gates of Jerusalem. The gates of the city, as we know, are the beginning of Holy Week, a week ahead of trial and death before Easter. Often, as modern Christians in North America, we like to think of Palm Sunday as the beginning of Easter. We've already planned our menu, invited our family for Easter, right? We have filled Easter eggs. We're all ready for Easter, but we still have Holy Week ahead of us. A week of dread and change and transformation and death of the familiar. The unknown is about to come through those gates. Palm Sunday, despite all the waving of palm fronds, is actually somewhat ominous. We are together with Jesus and the crowd, just on the outside, just on the periphery of untold, unimaginable, and yet cosmic human transformation, resurrection, and change. Even in the chaos and the excitement of the procession and the donkey into the city, we also sense in Jesus, right, coming down from the Mount of Olives, especially in these last verses, 41 through 44, we sense the dread. We sense the accounting. And yes, while Easter and rebirth are on the horizon, an honest telling of the problems to come. This year, during writing this sermon, which I first intended to be a happy sermon about bagpipes, my full-time and demanding job as Yale Divinity School's Associate Director of Alumni Engagement and Donor Relations intervened. This week, as I was trying to prepare for the sacredness of this anticipation and celebration, the human procession of Palm Sunday, I was interrupted spiritually and intellectually by a staff-wide training at Yale, at least in my department, on the threats, uses, and pending world-altering, universe-bending, perhaps calamity-causing, or even cancer-solving, both and, savior, devil, of artificial intelligence. These two letters, AI, have been on the margin of my understanding and an unwelcome, frankly, interruption in my news intake these past couple of years. What a silly idea, artificial intelligence. And I come by my Luddititude honestly, as I am a natural-born Luddite forced into the use of technology by the unfortunate timing of my birth as a millennial. The congregation I served during the pandemic in Guilford thought I was good at technology. That was a mistake. Honestly, I would prefer, if given the choice, to do all of my business with pen and paper, envelopes and stamps. For a long time as a writer and as a public gratitude person, a stewardship professional, I never thought AI would impact my work as a people person and an engagement person. Yet this AI idea has become a central theme of my week and likely this coming decade. Turns out, in infancy, according to this research that I was presented with this week, they've already have studies at universities where a thank you letter drafted and edited by someone like me does not get the same statistical great response as a thank you note written and generated by artificial intelligence. In one training this week with an AI and nonprofit fundraising guru zooming in from his mission-style house in California, the presenter proclaimed that in 2024, most of the successful attack ads in the presidential campaign will be generated by AI and targeted specifically to you. And many of the songs that will end up on the top of the charts will be mostly generated by AI predictors of what you will most want collectively as people to hear. Already, as of recent months, AI has now become better at telling faces apart than humans, differentiating handwriting, and telling voices apart than we are. This feels like a just outside the walls of the city moment, doesn't it? Unimaginable and unpredictable change ahead. We're just outside the city walls of something very new atop the donkey with Jesus. Yes, Easter of humanity will come again, but this Holy Week transition time ahead, it's going to be really hard for some of us. Yale School of Management, or as we call it, SOM, has a magazine called Yale Insights, and it published an article this week, and it's entitled, "Is AI Savior or Peril or Both?" Quote, "With applications of artificial intelligence spreading from the realm of data science to the apps at your fingertips, we consider how to unlock the technology's positive potential while containing possibilities for misuse, misinformation, labor market mayhem." And one person, the new director of digital ethics at the center at Yale, summed up this quandary this way. AI is most of the time making problems we already had worse, or solutions we already had better. He goes on to say, the difference in terms of how much more intense the solution or the problem has become with AI, it's like putting everything at double speed when it comes to bias, when it comes to privacy, when it comes to efficacy and efficiency. With life moving faster and faster and the news around the world, how can we be ready for Easter? How can we claim to be ready for Easter like our ancestors did? Did everyone have a restful and reflective Lent, good fasting, meditation? Did any of you have the time this February and March 2024 to do those practices, to fast and reflect? I know I didn't have any time this February and March. I was too busy keeping up with emails. Why do we need to do Lent before Easter? Here's my opinion. Lent is about reclaiming our humanity and imperfections in a technologically perfectionist world. In a big way, Lent is the festival of the imperfect in a world that demands that every moment of our lives is Easter perfection, baskets and sunlight and butterflies. Ideal, flawless, digitally correct. It is Lent that allows us to be human again and remember all that humanity, the earthiness of Easter. I worry we didn't celebrate our humanity enough this year to be ready for Holy Week. As AI, and this is fact, starts to do human things and thinking better than humans can, we must on this Sunday, between the imperfections of Lent and the perfection of Easter, pause on Palm Sunday. We must find new perspective and ground us in the messiness of humanity and our living, of church and congregation and communion and bread and juice. Palm Sunday, I've always loved Palm Sunday, not just because it's always been kind of associate minister Sunday. I think I've preached every Palm Sunday since I was out of divinity school. Which is fine. So I know this passage well. But Palm Sunday is one of my very favorites because it is this weird liminal space between the story of Jesus of Nazareth and the transformation into Son of God. It's this weird space where we are also most human. It is the space outside those giant towering city walls where we wonder the big questions. What's next? What does this impending change mean? We see those gates ahead like Jesus coming down from the Mount of Olives, and we hear the crowds cheering us forward, even though we know they're going to turn against us, right? The reading from today from the 19th chapter in the Gospel of Luke shows us that we are not alone in the strangeness, the awkwardness, the fear, and the anticipation of this year's AI change. No, we're not alone, but something feels different this year for me in the reading of this passage. I couldn't get beyond those towering walls. ahead and beyond, casting a shadow over this parade. The vantage point or narrative perspective, the lens through which we read the story, shifted. Perhaps I will argue we are simply experiencing Holy Week more from the vantage point of Jesus atop the donkey this year. Unlike the crowds that are blissfully unaware of the great and impending change and challenges of Holy Week, Jesus knows that this is the start of a time of trial and death that will eventually also lead to hope and new birth for humanity. Jesus is aware, as we are, that change is coming, and he can't stop it. He can't stop the cult. It goes forward and forward, cloak by cloak. This is the calm before the storm. Why do we think we're the crowd in this story and pretend that Holy Week isn't between us and Easter? The Palm Sunday tradition of the church, and most of you saw it across with our Episcopal friends as well, is to pass out these palm fronds. You all have them? What, by holding the palm frond in our hands, what is the church telling us as far as our perspective in this story? We're being told every year, we're being set up in a way by this unique gift of the palm frond to be the crowds, to be blissfully unaware of the difficulties to come. Regardless of theological tradition, church hands us a palm frond and helps us imagine ourselves as the spectators of the procession, the sidelines, the bystanders. I think it's so interesting that the church marks this occasion by handing us palm fronds to hold in worship, putting us into the Holy Week perspective of the fickle masses, the cheering and jeering of the crowds. Jesus, removed, however, from the cheering crowds, is awkwardly, I love this, set upon a donkey. But he knows what's coming. For 10 chapters, friends, Jesus has been trying to tell his disciples what is going to happen in Jerusalem. Scholars of biblical literature have identified that chapters 9 through 19 of Luke are a collection of stories that move us quietly and slowly, step by step, closer to this moment at the city gates of Jerusalem. We don't realize it as we're going through Luke, but we're on the move with Jesus to this moment at the wall. Jesus says, for example, when this starts in chapter 9, 22 through 23, right before the Transfiguration, "The Son of Man must suffer things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Then he said to them, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.'" Doesn't sound like a sideline kind of thing, does it? For Jesus, Palm Sunday and Holy Week isn't unexpected. He has been predicting this move for 10 chapters. If this year we put ourselves atop the donkey with Jesus, we'd see the story differently. We can sense the tension and the wonder and the isolation and the questions of it all on Palm Sunday. And we know too, by being with Jesus on the donkey, that we are not alone in these days. For Christ, God incarnate, God in flesh and bone, God with imperfections of humanity, accompanies us as we accompany each other on this very awkward and awake donkey ride moment for humanity. Every year we experience Palm Sunday, the day leading into the Holy Week, from the bleachers. We are the observers, the bystanders, the audience, unfazed by the complexity and the liminality of this holy, holy, holy time to come. With palm fronds in hand, we've been offered a ticket to the show, a place in the narrative that is safe, blissfully unaware of the true meaning of those city gates for Jesus. This year, however, with the very real news of AI taking over the world and our roles, we are with Jesus, aware of the risk, and hopeful, yes, for the Easter, the good aspects to come, the research advances and safety, hopefully, and efficiencies. And also wondering, what does this mean for our humanity, for our jobs, for our purpose, as we and the machines start to become one? This year, perhaps, we can experience Palm Sunday from the bewilderment atop the donkey with Jesus. By reimagining the story from atop the donkey with Christ, we find ourselves making this journey into Holy Week in a more intimate embrace with the divine, closer to God. Through dangerous gates we journey, but with the close companioning of Jesus. Tom Long was a professor of preaching at Emory when I was a student there, and he wrote an amazing book on the Christian funeral called Accompanying Them with Singing, which actually was inspired by watching funeral marches in New Orleans, if you've ever seen that, with a full band and the rest. In it, he writes, "The key marks of a Christian funeral, simplicity, majesty. For Christians, Jesus is not a founder of some new religion or separate sect, but rather a revelation of what it means to live a fully human life. A life that truly embodies the image of God. To follow Jesus, then, is to walk the royal road intended for all of humanity. One of the earliest depictions of Christianity as a movement was people of the way. For Christians, baptism is the starting point of this way, a journey along a road Jesus himself traveled. Christians travel this road in faith, not knowing where it will sometimes go, and seeing at many times only one step ahead." Amen, anyone? But they keep putting one foot in front of the other, traveling in faith till the end. Friends, the word parade, as we often imagine the triumph of Palm Sunday, comes from the etymology. Parade comes from a word meaning a showing or a spectacle. It means something to be observed and witnessed from the outside. It is neutral, it is passive, and it doesn't call us to real lives of grace and humanity with each other, or the scary, awkward donkey top ride with Jesus with that perspective of the gates ahead. On the other hand, what the story is really about is the word procession. A procession means a moving forward. It implies a deeper kind of togetherness than a crowd. It implies solidarity and spiritual unity and humanity. We are called to be people of the way, walking with Christ not into simple, cheap grace, but deeply lived lives of Christian experience and hope for each other. Christianity is a procession together, one step in front of the other in the company of Christ, even into the impending change, the roar of which is very near. Christianity isn't meant to be a parade or a spectacle, but it's meant to be lived in motion together. While artificial intelligence is radically new, it is also the latest development in the long relationship between humans and technology, which stretches back to those first humans who figured out how to make fire from stone. Manuela Velosa is head of AI research at JP Morgan Chase and argues the following. Life has become a collaboration between the knowledge of humans and these machines. There will be a moment when we will transition and we will trust AI. She describes how people have come to trust earlier technologies, including washing machines and GPS directions. How many of us follow Google Maps or Waze blindly? Turn left, turn right, go straight. It's like a giant game of Simon Says, right? The science of AI and engineering is to prove the best algorithm in integration with humans that are enabled to incorporate feedback. The goal is for the human not to be checking everything the AI does, but that is the Easter. That's the result of the journey. When we meet again this time next year, I ask myself if a computer will be preaching. The data says that it would already be better at it than me. This year, we are experiencing Palm Sunday more in the way Jesus experienced it, rather than as the crowds bearing olive branches and palm fronds. We ride this weird donkey, looking up at the city gates, fearful, aware, weary, wary of change. And like Jesus, if we're being honest, knowing that unpleasant things are probably coming. Yet we keep going, and we know we're not alone. Our companioning is greater and deeper than the anonymity of a crowd, the passiveness of a bystander. For we, if you look around, are sharing this donkey ride with Jesus Christ, with one another, with God the Creator, with the Holy Spirit our sustainer, and with the presence of all Christians, now living, passed on, and yet to be born in this brave new world. Amen.